Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains Podcast. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society University, and this is the work of the chaplain. Lesson 78. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help those who are interested in serving others through chaplaincy, pastoring, coaching, and counseling to learn the basics, the fundamentals of this ministry, and some would call profession. Our work of the chaplain passage for this episode is Proverbs 11:13, which says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Our work of the chaplain quote for this episode is from Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord, having served his present generation. He said, "Confidentiality is the essence of being trusted." In this podcast, beloved, we are going through the fine book, The Work of the Chaplain by Dr. Naomi K. Paget and Dr. Janet R. McCormick. Our topic today is Chapter 11, Minefields for the Chaplain, Part 2. Confidentiality. Confidentiality pertains to professional ethics, whereby the chaplain assures the client of non-disclosure to the fullest extent allowed by state law. Clients must be able to assume that their conversations will be kept confidential to ensure a spiritually and emotionally healing relationship with the chaplain. Some professionals, such as medical professionals, counselors, and attorneys, are legally required to maintain strict confidentiality. The law does not necessarily require a chaplain to maintain strict confidentiality, but in most cases, it does provide the opportunity for the chaplain to protect a client's confidential communication if the communication was conveyed to the chaplain acting in a professional capacity as a spiritual advisor, as opposed to talking to the chaplain as a golf partner, relative, or committee member. Generally, conversations in the presence of a third person are not considered confidential. An exception would be an inmate who cannot speak to a chaplain without the presence of a guard. Ultimately, the responsibility of keeping such a confidence belongs to the individual chaplain. Therefore, the consequence for disclosure or non-disclosure also belongs to the chaplain. During a profession mentoring session, a colleague expressed some concern over an issue of confidentiality and mandated reporting. "Chaplain, you realize that in Colorado, clergy are mandated reporters. You could be criminally charged for withholding such information." "Yes, but the information I received was entrusted to me during a pastoral counseling session with the child. I am aware of the personal consequences legally, but it's a difficult position for me. I must choose between obeying the law or obeying my conscience to honor a child's hard earned trust in my confidentiality. Confidentiality is, I'm sorry, my hard-won trust in my confidentiality. Let me read that again. I must choose between obeying the law or obeying my conscience to honor a child's hard-won trust in my confidentiality. Confidentiality is also a moral concept supported in many faith traditions. The moral obligation of the chaplain is not absolute. However, thus professional ethics determine when the confidentiality of the helping relationship might be broken. The chaplain may predetermine that a moral standard requires disclosure. If the client is a threat to self or others, or the chaplain may predetermine that in a medical emergency, personal information may need to be revealed to ensure the client's welfare or safety. Essentially, the chaplain must make a choice about breaking a promise or violating a covenant. Chaplains should assure their clients that their conversations are confidential. Only if, in fact, they are. Some people are fearful that no conversations are confidential. So such assurances are necessary to build trust and confidence in clients to approach their chaplain for spiritual counseling. That is why, ethically, chaplains must inform the client when conversations are not absolutely confidential. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for giving us this time of education together and learning some new things and other things being confirmed. We pray now, Lord, that those who will listen to the gospel here in a few seconds, we pray that you'd open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. And Lord, those who are aspiring to be chaplains, Lord, help them to seek you and let your will be done in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.